Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are continuing the section in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that deals with divorce. On the one hand, I'm mightily tempted to go back and review again and again, because I know that every day we have listeners that weren't listening the day before, and divorce is such a big question, such a big issue in our day, and there seems to be so much confusion about what the Bible teaches about it, and so much contradictory interpretations about what the Bible teaches about it. So, on the one hand, I see some value in quickly summarizing what has been said for the benefit of those who have not been with us before. But on the other hand, if I keep doing that, I'm not going to get along very far. So I will simply reiterate by saying that in the case of a marriage where both husband and wife are Christians, there neither one has permission to initiate divorce. Divorce is only allowed in the case of adultery. But barring that, neither partner has permission to initiate divorce. If things become so difficult that you can't live together, you may separate, but you can't remarry. You've got to remain single or be reconciled. So here's great impetus to, number one, work hard at maintaining a strong marriage so you don't ever get to the place where you're even tempted to separate. And number two, if you do separate, to really work through your problems and get back together. And if both are Christians, that should be doable. Now, the problem, of course, is that in so many cases, particularly I think in our day more than Paul's day, you've got people claiming to be Christians, professing to be Christians, who really aren't. They don't have a changed heart. And that really makes things difficult. And what do you do about that? Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the end of the whole discussion. But that, in a nutshell, reviews what Paul has to say about divorce in the case of Christian marriages. But now we're running through the questions that pertain to mixed marriages, and we'll continue in that vein on this Wednesday, October 6th, thanking the Lord for those listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on the station. Well, very quickly, the things we've already covered. In the case of a mixed marriage, may the believer initiate divorce? Answer, no. No. Again, I presume the only exception being in the case of adultery, but no. The believer may not do that. Another question, is the believer defiled by the unbeliever? Answer, no. We spent quite a bit of time on that, but the answer is no. Things are different under the new covenant than the old covenant, and under the old covenant, was the believer defiled by an unbelieving spouse? Yes. That's why they had to be put away. They had to be divorced. They had to be sent back. But under the new covenant, no. That's no longer true. That's not the case. The believing spouse is not defiled by the unbelieving one. And so, no, there's no reason for the believer to initiate divorce. Well, then we come to this question, what if the unbeliever initiates divorce? A different question altogether, and that's the one that is addressed in verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, that verse culminates what started in verse 12, and I think I'll go back and read the whole thing again. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the children, otherwise, or by the husband, rather. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But, now we come to the text we're examining now in verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. If the unbeliever departs, the believer has no permission to depart. Now, depart here basically means divorce. It's not just disappears and now you're stuck with a missing spouse, but you're still legally married. No, the unbeliever departs the marriage by way of divorce. The believer may not do that, but the unbeliever might. The unbeliever is not going to pay any attention to the Word of God, probably doesn't know what the Word of God says, but even if they do, they don't feel any responsibility to obey it as a believer does. So if the unbeliever departs, if they divorce you and leave, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So back to the question, what if the unbeliever initiates divorce? In that case, the believer must allow that one to depart. If the unbeliever is not willing to remain within the marriage, the believer must grant them their divorce, their desire to divorce. This is a command, actually. If the unbeliever departs, let him depart. That's imperative. Let him depart. Don't try to thwart his or her desire to depart, to divorce and to leave the marriage. Let him depart. And we are told that a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, and that is what then frees the believer to remarry. Unlike in the case of two believers who divorce, who are required to remain single or be reconciled, they do not have permission to remarry, but in the case of a mixed marriage, if the unbeliever initiates the divorce, then the believer is free to be remarried. And all of this in the interest of peace. God has called us to peace. Did you catch that in the last part of the verse? A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. And I think we could add, and as a testimony to the world, and of course that's related to this idea of peace, because to hold on to an unbeliever who's unwilling to remain in the marriage, but you are fighting them tooth and nail, you are dragging them with a chain, you are holding on to them with a rope, you are contesting this matter mightily and publicly, is a terrible testimony before the world. God has called us to peace. Let him depart. A brother or sister is not in bondage in such cases because God has called us to peace. But then a final question, is it possible to win the unbelieving spouse to Christ? And here the answer is yes, emphatically yes. Verse 16, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Be hopeful. Remain together as long as possible. You don't fight the believer, the unbeliever, if they are determined to depart, but you try to do everything you can to convince them that it would be better to stay. It would be in their best interest to stay, because you don't know, but what in doing so, you will be an instrument of their salvation. That's the truth, and that needs to be considered very heavily. Sometimes when people get in the throes of an unhappy marriage, they're involved in a marriage where one partner doesn't want to be in the marriage. They are very different in their outlook on life. This is what we call in our day incompatibility, and you've got a great deal of that between an unbeliever and a believer in a mixed marriage. So it's very easy to imagine that there's a great deal of incompatibility here. But there's something that is bigger than your own comfort, your own happiness. That's not the most important thing. God's far more interested, you've probably already heard somebody say this, God's far more interested in your holiness than your happiness, and sometimes it takes working through the problems that make you unhappy to bring you to a greater degree of holiness. But here's something else that is often unconsidered in the area of marriage, and that is your willingness to accept some less than desirable things, your willingness to live with some unhappiness, your willingness to be unselfish and to consider the interests of others above your own is exactly what may in time be used by God to bring your unbelieving spouse to salvation. If it takes some of that inconvenience, that unhappiness, that preference to have it some other way, but if you're willing to yield all that, if that's what it takes in order to bring your unconverted spouse to faith in Christ, is it worth it? Who could possibly say it's not? Who could possibly say it's not? Now, I know it can be very uncomfortable, very difficult. I know that at the time, it seems like, well, two things seem like the situation. Number one, it seems like that person is never going to come to Christ. There's no hope for that. There's no reasonable expectation that could ever happen. Are you saying God isn't able to change their heart? And on the other hand, you're probably saying, I don't know if I can put up with this much longer. Well, it's not in your hands. It's up to the other one, remember. The believer does not have permission to divorce the unbelieving partner. And that would therefore also necessitate that the believer must not be doing anything to make the unbeliever so unhappy and uncomfortable that they come to the place where they decide that the only solution is for a divorce. And so that may happen, and you can say technically, I didn't do it, but you and God know that you did, you tried your best to. You tried to make the other person so unhappy and miserable that they did what you would have done if you'd been allowed to do it, and you knew you couldn't, but you did your best to goad them into doing it for you. God knows your heart. But how much better to say, I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to suffer pain, emotional pain, whatever. I'm willing to put up with a difficult situation if, in doing so, the Lord uses me as an instrument to bring that unbeliever to faith in Christ. That would be worth it. Yes, it would. And you don't know but what that may happen. How do you know whether you will save your husband, you will save your wife? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.